We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com. Are you prepared to bug out? Infidel Body Armor and an Army Ranger have produced a high-speed DVD and book to show you how to drive in combat, patrol, and how to survive in combat. Skills you'll need when it hits the fan. Go to DrivenDVD.com. DrivenDVD.com.
You're listening to Resolution Radio. ResolutionRDO.com.
Welcome to American Dissident Voices. I'm Kevin Alfred Strom. You've not seen a lot on National Vanguard about the Trump-Biden election contest. We at the National Alliance are so focused on building racial consciousness among the best of our people and on building the alliance itself that we would have little to no time for electoral politics, even if we believed that Trump had the best interests of white people at heart, which we do not believe. Even if we believed in mass democracy as a way of running our society, which we also don't believe. One of our excellent writers on National Vanguard is David Sims, and I want to present his essay on last Tuesday's presidential election on our program today, instead of as a standalone essay, not only because I think it deserves the extra exposure that it will get both on our site and on our 24/7 National Alliance radio network, but also because I want to make it clear to its readers that we're not Trump supporters, despite the fact that Trump can be perceived in some ways as the lesser of two evils. Here in his trademark clear, lucid, and logical style is what David Sims had to say. Quote, "The mainstream media, which are owned by Zionist Jews and staffed by leftists, are telling us that Donald Trump's lawsuits against several states for election fraud are false and baseless. The mainstream media are lying once again. Trump's accusations are almost certainly correct because they are based on a great deal of evidence. We knew that the Democrats were using the COVID-19 pandemic as an excuse to cheat in the U.S. presidential election with fake mail-in votes. And that's exactly what they did in several key battleground states: Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Arizona. Several observers predicted ahead of time that the Democrats would do this, and the prediction proved to be correct. We also now are hearing claims, unverified so far at least, that there is an ongoing sting operation using hidden watermarks that will lead to the cheaters being exposed. But knowing what happened and fulfilling due process requirements in documenting it for a civil process are two different things. Even with everyone, including some liberals, knowing full well what has happened, the Democrats' cheated up election result might stand. Let us wish all the good luck we can for Donald Trump to prevail in the state courts and in the U.S. Supreme Court, because we will otherwise most likely become a communist country. Here's a recap of events pertaining to the great cheat of 2020. In the early evening of 4 November, Donald Trump was leading in several key battleground states by hundreds of thousands of votes, where upwards of 80% of the vote had already been counted. We all went to bed confident that Trump was going to win re-election. Overnight, however, a great many unverified votes arrived and were dumped at the polls. Nearly all of these late-arriving votes were for Joe Biden. Close to none were for Donald Trump. How did all those votes for Biden get separated from votes for Trump? Did the post office sort them? No. Those hundreds of thousands of votes, overwhelmingly for Biden, salted with a few for Trump to make it look plausible, were packaged together because they were generated by Democratic fraudsters. Of course, it wouldn't be plausible if those votes were, say, from some rural, overwhelmingly white county in Pennsylvania. No one would believe that. So it wasn't Podunk County that suddenly found itself understaffed and had to keep counting votes a full 4 days after the election. Oh no. It was the heavily black and heavily corrupt trash heap called Philadelphia, which suddenly needed 500% more time for all those ballots that just somehow, inexplicably, keep coming in. Republican volunteer poll watchers were, after this time, prevented from observing the vote counting by Democrat officials, who pretended to have the authority to turn them away. They really hadn't this authority, but they did have the balance of brute force on their side, so they got their way. They claimed that COVID-19 required any observers to be 30 to 100 feet away from the vote counters, though the vote counters can be seen on video sitting and standing quite close to each other. While the Republican watchers were held off at a distance, the Democrat vote counters blocked the windows into the polling stations to prevent anybody from seeing what was going on by using binoculars. I guess COVID can hitch a ride on the photons emanating from the windows. So much for the efficacy of masks. As if by magic, each of the contested states found just enough Biden votes in those packages of late-arriving votes to overcome Trump's lead in the race in that state. The mainstream media acted as if all these fraudulent goings-on were simply the natural course of things, that it was the Republicans who were trying to cheat. The Democrats, they said, didn't do nothing. Why shouldn't election fraud be regarded as a form of treason, at least as egregious as selling military secrets to foreign countries? Close quote. Stealing elections through fraud, to such an extent that no one on any side really trusts the official results, is common, even the norm, in third world and mixed race societies. And America is becoming a third world society. As I have said many times before, import the third world, become the third world. The first stage in that direction is credible evidence of actual election fraud. And we have that. We have had that for a very long time, and it seems to be becoming more frequent. The second stage is huge legal battles over election results. It looks like we're going to have that right now. The third stage is violent clashes over contested results, and that is surely coming soon as well. If not this time, then the next. Ultimately, this means at stage five, the dissolution of the regime in Washington as ruler of the 50 or 52 states. Maybe D.C. and Puerto Rico will get black and brown stars, respectively, on the new but very temporary flag of the traitor's regime. Now, I could not find it in my heart to vote for Jew-fawning Trump, nor could I ever vote for the anti-white monster's Biden-Harris ticket. But I damn well would vote for the dissolution of the regime in Washington. That's something that racially conscious whites could really get behind. And it's surely going to happen. The only question is, will we be ready to take power and govern when it does happen? That's why alliance building is by far the most important thing we can do right now. Vote cheating and vote stealing are an inherent part of mass democracy. Even when America was still young, they happened. A credible theory of Edgar Allan Poe's mysterious death in Baltimore in 1849 is that he was swept up in a vote-getting mob by party ward heelers, along with hundreds of others they could find on the streets of the city, given liquor with promises of more, given fake identification, taken to the polls and voted, possibly more than once with a change of clothes, and Poe was found in clothes not his own. And more rot-gut liquor in between votes, in such quantities that Poe's sensitive system could not stand it, and it killed him. These political gangs would not only press liquor on their victims, but would beat those who wouldn't cooperate, sometimes to death. Apparently, such behavior was commonplace at election time. And the vote-getting and vote-manufacturing machines of our major cities have been notorious for far longer than I've been alive. The Daley machine in Chicago in 1960, 1964, and later in my lifetime alone, voting people who didn't exist or who were long dead, was famous for it. But so were the machines in 100 other American cities and more. This is machine politics. And Joe Biden and Kamala hates whites are machine politicians par excellence. There are Republican machines, too. Stories are already coming out of registered voters going to the polls in 2020 who were born in 1905. It's an American tradition. Ah, democracy. Definitely worth fighting and dying for. Definitely worth losing your sons, or now even your daughters, to impose it on people who know better than to want it. Go down to the DMV. Go down to Walmart. Go anywhere where everyone or almost everyone goes. Look carefully at the humanoids there. Look at them close up. Look at the way they dress, at the way they act, at the way they express themselves. Look at what they choose to buy. In a mass democracy, your fate is in their hands. Well, perhaps I overstate that. Your fate is really in the hands of those who produce the media that control the Wall Martians, that suggest to them in a thousand different ways what they ought to buy, what they ought to think, what they ought to notice, what they ought to ignore, what they ought to think is good and moral, and what they ought to think is evil. Is putting the fate of your son, your daughter, your wife in the hands of such beings really the right thing for you to do? If we know what the right course of action is to secure our people's salvation, should we fail to act upon that course of action because the majority of such a mob or the shepherds of such a mob think we shouldn't? We all know who those shepherds are. We all know that they will never permit the mob to even think, much less to endorse, and much, much less to act in our own interests. Yet, under mass democracy, we must ask permission of this mob before doing anything. Is this the right course? These Trump lawsuits should not be our focus. The Democratic and Republican crookedness should not be our focus. Getting Trump in instead of Biden should never have been our focus, and it shouldn't be our focus now. What should be our focus is liberating our people from this entire system. Doing right for future generations means having a government whose central purpose is the protection and advancement of our race. Doing right for future generations means having a government and a country where that purpose can never be derailed, where that principle is inviolable and unchangeable forever. Doing right for future generations means working to build a new order, a new nation, and raising up a new people, the likes of which the earth has only seen a glimmering spark in the last century. What do we want for our children? and their children, and for the yet unborn posterity of our race. Winning more often? In the rotten system called democracy, where the scum and liars and Jews and money men always rise to the top? Pretending that we don't really want what we want, so we can be more popular with the mob? Doing the same crooked things the bastards do, except harder and more cynically? Getting away with it better than they do. Where is that leading our folk? Where will that leave our future generations? Yes, 4 more years with a slight Trumpian slowdown of white genocide, with somewhat of a delay before racial nationalism is outlawed, might help us a bit. But, you know, 4 or more years of an obviously illegitimate administration that at least half the white people in America now know is illegitimate, and whose anti-white agenda is so explicit that even Joe and Jill Sixpack can see it, can immeasurably help consciousness raising and recruiting to our cause, too. Epictetus and Marcus Aurelius taught us to be virtuous always and not to fret over what we cannot change. So whatever comes, take heart. We are right, and nature, or if you prefer, nature's God, is on our side.
You're listening to Resolution Radio, Radio, Radio.
ResolutionRDO.com.
My brothers, my sisters, I bring you a message of solidarity, a call to action, and a demand for adherence to duty of an Aryan resurgence and ultimately total Aryan victory. We have broken the chains of Jewish thought. We know not the meaning of the word mine, it is ours. Our race, the totality of our people. 10 hearts, 1 beat. 100 hearts, 1 beat. 10,000 hearts, 1 beat. We are born to fight and to die and to continue the flow. The flow of our people. Onward we will go, onward to the stars, high above the mud of yellow, black, and brown. So kinsmen, duty calls. The future is now. If months from now you have not yet fully committed yourself to the Alliance, then you have in effect not only betrayed your race, you have betrayed yourself. So stand up like men and drive the enemy into the sea. Stand up like men and swear a sacred oath upon the green graves of our sires that you will reclaim what our forefathers discovered, explored, conquered, settled, built, and died for. Stand up like men and reclaim our soil. Kinsmen, arise. Look towards the stars and proclaim our destiny. Defeat never, victory forever.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so afraid of being called racist that we were quailing towards irrelevance and extinction. Join the American Freedom Party today. Reach us at theamericanfreedomparty.us or call us at 701-317-5317. Paid for by the American Freedom Party.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
I believe in race. I'm not ashamed to admit it at all. And that doesn't mean one bit that I'm out to persecute or hurt any man because of his race. He can't help what race he is. We believe that each race has particular geniuses and particular faults. The white race has built white Western civilization, and we think the white race should dominate in that area. National socialism fundamentally is the application of science not only to inanimate objects and animals, but to mankind himself. We believe that the communists, the Marxists, have one fatal error in their doctrine. A place where absolutely there's a hole and there's no explanation for it. They admit evolution. They admit that animals vary by breed and that you can breed better and worse animals. Now, how do they explain how there is a sudden dividing line when you come to one particular animal called man? They have no explanation. Time and again, when I've asked them, they have no explanation. They just say if it's got two legs and it stands on its hind feet, then it suddenly becomes a special being and there is absolute equality. They're all the same. Man is an animal just like all the rest of the animals. He's more intelligent, but he must obey nature's laws. And that insofar as he is an animal, he must obey the laws that pertain to animals. We say that when the white race has produced such a wonderful thing, As Western civilization, we should treasure the people that have produced that and can maintain it. And we should not mix them all up with other kinds of civilizations, whether or not they're good. We should certainly try to preserve it just the way the farmer preserves his better grade of stock. We are also, socially speaking, tribalists. You must live as social beings. You have to live with other people. And this is impossible unless you observe certain fundamental laws of the tribe, the ancient Indian tribe, any kind of tribe of people, even a wolf pack, has got to have certain fundamental things. One of these things is leadership. Not leadership by the most popular, but by the strongest and the best. Any tribe or Indian tribe or any group or family should be led by the best and the strongest. Otherwise, it disintegrates. It's got to have group pride and loyalty. You've got to have selection in the mating process, something that we have almost lost now. We believe that it is of fundamental importance to society that the strongest, cleverest, and the best of the men mate with the best type of women who will make good mothers. And when you destroy that machinery, you get what we have now. We believe that you have got to have an organic society. Now, by an organic society, we mean a society, not a dictatorship, but a society in which the parts of the society cooperate together in different functions and in peace and harmony, just the way your body works. Cancer is the wild, uncontrolled growth of cells at the expense of all the rest of the body, and that's what you have in Washington, D.C. right now. Cancer. We believe in private property and free enterprise. It is impossible, we believe, to have a society in which there is any real work going on unless people can get the reward of their effort. And at the same time, we believe you've got to have social justice. You cannot have people who are exploiting and squeezing little helpless people economically. And this is where I get in trouble with the conservatives, because most of today's conservatives, I've discovered, are reactionaries. They're real anxious to hold on to their money. They don't care how they have to figure it out. They just want those money bags. And they come up with any kind of rationale to keep it. Every national socialist believes in idealism, believes in something that is worth more than his own one single human life. He's willing to die for something. When you're ready to die for something, then you're alive. And until you are ready to die for something, you have no real fanaticism. And just at dinner a little while ago with some of the fellows there, they said, were telling me, well, it's terrible to be a fanatic. Well, did you ever stop and think how this country got here? How all the great inventions ever got there? Any one of you out there that is not a fanatic on something or other, whatever it is you're studying, if you're going to be a doctor, be a fanatical doctor. Otherwise, you'll be nothing. You'll just be an ordinary old chug-chugging guy, and when you die, nobody will notice it. But if you're a fanatic, you'll produce something great. You'll create. Creativity is fanaticism. Every creative genius has had to be a fanatic. Many of them have been burned at the stake. So we are ideological and idealistic fanatics. Just like the communists, by the way. In between the Nazis and the communists is the great mass of non-fanatics. The TV watchers and the comic book readers. I will say this. National socialism is the inevitable end product, logically, of evolution. If you believe in evolution, you've got to be a Nazi if you think about it long enough. You can't help it. But what happens is people short-circuit it. The minute they believe in evolution and scientific breeding until they come to that two-legged animal that stands up on its hind legs, then all the rules are off. We say that's not possible. You either believe in the scientific method and the truth, and you apply it to yourself without egotism, or else you don't believe in the scientific method and you're kidding yourself. Nazis believe in ruthless application of the truth, not only to inanimate matter and animals, but to you animals. People, all of us, are the same insofar as we are animals and must survive and live as animals. And unless we breed ourselves better, we're going to get worse. That's what's happening. I do worship nature in that I'm humble. When I see the mighty, awesome power of nature, and believe me, I've seen some terrific power of nature, the typhoons off Japan during the war, earthquakes. I've been through some tremendous cataclysms on this earth. And compared to them, the atomic bomb is like a firecracker. Nothing. And when you start to think of the enormity of space, our spacemen are just going around at the very bottom levels of space. They're no place yet. There are over 100 million planets where life, just like here, could exist. And in the face of that awesome probability, not possibility, probability, I say it's ridiculous to be egocentric and say we are the center of all things. Everything turns around us. We Nazis are humble. When I look at nature and realize how ignorant and small and feeble and weak and little we are, Nazism is a philosophy of nature, a way of looking at the world. And as I've pointed out, we believe in tribalism. We don't think we're above that. We think that you've got to have pride in your family, pride in your race, pride in your nation. That's not something to laugh at. Patriotism and pride in family and pride in race is something we should be proud of and cultivate, work on, not get rid of. Finally, we believe in morals. We believe in the traditions of goodness, virtue. Now I told you something about what we are, but I'll do as good as I can in telling you what I think our enemies are. And our enemies, make no mistake about it, are the Marxists. The philosophy of Marxism, I believe, is the enemy of all humanity. It's the reverse of humanity. We say communism itself is the most vicious, anti-social doctrine the world has ever known, and here's why. They completely deny the very basis on which any human order can exist at all. Without humans, or at least without civilized humans, you certainly can't have human order. And the communists say they don't believe in race. They believe in absolute equality. The pygmies, the aborigines of Australia, everybody. Let them all come to Carlton, and they'll all write arias and books, and the cannibals will be producing the music and verses. That's all you have to do is educate them. And this simply is not true. This results in chaos, social chaos, which is what we have now. They don't believe in enterprise. They don't believe that people should work for themselves. They believe that the state should come and tell them what to do. They don't believe in private property. They don't believe that you can keep the fruits of your production. They don't have, above all, they have no spiritual ideal. We say the only thing that's worth protecting with your life is ideals and your family, your race, and your nation. And twice in my lifetime, I've been called upon to go out and risk getting killed. And I saw a lot of other young men doing this. Young fanatics that they made out of us, by the way. They made us real fanatic haters of the Germans and fanatic haters of the Japanese. Nobody protested that that was bad to be a fanatic when we were fighting those Japs, and I assure you we all were. Finally, the communists, if you remember when they first got into Russia, they are against morals. They had free love, no morals at all, everything was have a ball. And the result was they almost tore Russia to pieces. They just fell apart. Now, if you'll notice, they are almost puritanical in Russia. In order to make the thing work, they've had to go back to the very principles of tribalism which we're advocating. You can't work society with a communist pipe dream. Civilization is based on self-sacrifice, on the willingness of men to go out and die for what they believe in. When you get rid of that self-sacrifice, you get anarchy. Civilization is built because I am willing to give up something for my family. And the family is willing to give up something in order to have the town succeed. And the town is willing to give up something so the state can be in business. And the state is willing to give up something so the nation can succeed. Self-sacrifice is the first principle of civilization. Communism has got the fanaticism to destroy you, and it's doing it. And unless you can build up a counter-fanaticism for something you believe in positively, you will be destroyed. You are being destroyed.
Recently, there was a report out that among new babies that were born, this happened last year, minorities were now the majority, that whites were officially the minority.
And they're boasting about it. Khrushchev just said, America's so liberal, they'll never fight. And I think there's a lot of truth to that, but we're going to change that. It won't be quite so liberal. After we've had a chance to make America understand what it is and make it conscious of itself and its greatness and its people and the white race understand that they're worthy of protecting themselves. That they don't have to keep humbling and downgrading themselves while other races are standing up and saying, look at us, how great we are. We keep saying we're ashamed of ourselves for being white. That's a terrible thing. The thing for each race to do is be proud of itself. and the white people and the good people of this country, when they finally realize that they can do that without hurting or being obnoxious to anybody else, they will finally become fanatics to survive, to keep this great country going.